Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll be continuing our How to Pray series where we're on our petition, Give Us Our Daily Bread. And really we want to ask as we approach this text is, what are the facets of this one petition, Give Us Our Daily Bread? And we'll notice that today as we unpack this text, really, we're just going to be walking through each word of this prayer, Give Us Our Daily Bread, which is 4 points. The first is give. Second is us or our. The third is daily. And the fourth is bread. So let us read God's word, starting with Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, speak to your people, O God. Be their blessing. Speak to them. Use me, your servant, that they would be blessed today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. There are a few things in my life, as you saw in the picture, that I keep. And one of those things is a scorpion encased in clear plastic. And this object on the surface is pretty much worthless. As you know, as adults, you're not looking at like a nugget of gold. It's a scorpion. It's a bug enclosed in a piece of plastic. I can't really sell it, make a whole lot of money out of it yet. This object is important to me, and why? Because it reminds me of the people who gave it to me. You see, when I was growing up as a kid, I didn't have grandparents that lived close. I really didn't know my grandparents. I maybe saw my grandparents 5 times in my whole life. I really never knew them. Yet God in his infinite blessing, and then here's a side tangent, my family has always been the church. I have always been far away from family, either seminary, either across the world, haven't been able to go to Thanksgivings, haven't been able to go to Christmas stuff with church with family. Yet God has infinitely blessed my family with the church in so many ways. Wherever we have been, we have not been family-less because we have the church. But God gave me these spiritual grandparents, Frank and Adele Hickman, and these people ultimately were godly people. They loved my mother and my father. They were patient. Both my parents were pagans as can be. They led my mother to the gospel, and they comforted her when my dad used to make fun of her because she was a Christian. That they were with her through the ups and downs in life, just as some of Christians in this room have been for you. And they ultimately led her to Jesus, and my mom fell in love with the one that I fall in love with. And she pointed me to Christ. And so this little gift, this worthless by the world standards to me, is a great gift because it points to a far greater gift, and that is the gift of my salvation. And that's what Jesus does in this Lord's Prayer. He teaches us how to pray for something ordinary, something simple, just like bread. Plain Jane white wonder bread. Yet Jesus teaches us to pray for something ordinary, sandwiched between God's kingdom and deliverance from the evil one. At first, it seems kind of anticlimactic. At first, we're saying, Jesus, why are we praying about bread? But that's the genius of it all. That even bread teaches us something about the gospel. In this petition, Give Us Our Daily Bread, we learn dependence, we learn generosity, we learn daily trust, and above all, we learn about Christ, the bread of heaven. And so let us look to our first point, and that is give. You see, God is the giver. That's the first word, give. Not return, not achieve, but give. And that tells us that all we have are gifts. I once knew a man. He actually was, I knew a man. And this man was close to the family. Yet he had an affair on his wife, he divorced her, and he left the faith. And I remember him strongly telling me, he says, God has never given me anything. I made everything with my own hands. Everything that I have is because of me. And when he told me this, I was a little concerned. But after looking at his whole life and understanding like where he was at through his whole life when he was tested, I understood what those words were. That God gives me nothing, that I made everything with my own hands. You see, that's the posture of the unbeliever. I make everything with my own hands. That's the posture of someone that's not living by the gospel, but living by performance. That we think if we can earn everything, that we can achieve everything, then we don't have to be grateful, but we can be proud. We don't have to be generous, but we can be selfish. Because, of course, we did it all on our own. And this is why we need to understand that everything that we get is ultimately from God. And in a good juxtaposition to this first man is another man that you might have heard of. His name is Ben Askren. He's an MMA fighter. But before that, he was known to be an Olympic world wrestler. And this man he was fine physical shape. This man was strong. He was world class. But he had illness that struck maybe 4 months ago where he had a really bad pneumonia and both of his lungs failed and he had to have a double lung transplant. In fact, he was going to die. His insurance wouldn't pay for the surgery. And so many people in the mixed martial arts community pitched together to pay for this man's surgery. And when he woke up from his coma, when he woke up from his surgery, and it's crazy to see the before and after results. This man was beefy. This man was a stud. But he was, after the double lung implant, he was a skeleton. And you know what he said after he woke up from the surgery? He says, today I'm going to give my life to Christ. Today I'm a Christian. He said he reflected on how his wife would say, please come to church to me. Please come to church. This is important to my faith. Yet he didn't see anything in it. Yet it was when the Lord took away his very lungs, when the Lord actually humbled him, God gave him a new heart and actually new lungs to breathe out, glory to you, O God. That I'm going to trust in you, O Jesus. You see, every gift that we receive, even the ability to preach, my gift, it is a gift. I don't like when you guys say, oh, it was a great sermon. You know why? Because it is not me. It is God. God is the one that gave me this gift. And I would be a wicked, arrogant servant if I said, oh, yeah, thanks. And I rested in that. But I give those strengths back to God. Just like every strength that you have, the ability that you can wake up and breathe is a gift of God. The ability that you can earn bread to pay for your family is a gift of God. And so when Christ took away his function of his lungs and brought him to his knees, he saw where all his good gifts came from, that the strength in his muscles are now wasted away, but his very lungs gave him endurance to win a wrestling match. Now is the very lungs that praises the Lord. That the Lord gives us strength. That the Lord gives us gifts. You see, the thing is, money can be great. Daily bread can be a great gift. As Martin Luther says in his catechism, daily bread ranges from food, drink, clothing, home, land, animals, money, goods, spouses, children, employees, fellow workers, the people that rule over us, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation with friends and neighbors. That daily bread encompasses everything. Nothing you have is truly yours, but are all gifts from God. You see, both men at some point in their life were forgetful and overlooked God's gifts. They were like blind men groping for a lamp, yet congratulating themselves with such excellent sight. That they were like farmers who praised themselves for a good harvest, but never noticed the rain. Yet only truly, there was only one that truly came to know the greatest treasure, that is Christ himself. In many ways, Ben Askren received a Frank and Adele Hickman gift. On the surface, it seemed important, not important. On the surface, it seemed like an inconvenience, something people would not want to pray for. But in actuality, Ben Askren's faulty lungs were a gift from God that ultimately pointed him to a greater gift. That's Christ's eternal life that is given to Ben Askren. Now, people of DRPC, every crust of bread on our tables is grace from God. If bread is a gift, then all life is a gift. With our eyes open, we see all wonderful things that God has blessed us, that he blessed us when we pray, give us our daily bread. And so we come to our second point, and that is, give us. Notice that Jesus says, when he says praying, give us our daily bread, not give me my daily bread. You see, the Lord's Prayer is written in the plural because it had the church, people in mind, not individuals, but a community in mind. It doesn't have only an individual in mind, but it says that the Lord's Prayer is an anti-American prayer, so to speak. That American culture is all about me, all about the individual, what's in it for me. But the Lord's Prayer teaches us not just to pray for me, but for others. That we pray in the plural. Bread isn't just for me, but it is for us. It is for my family. It is for my neighbor. It is for those who are in need. It is for the missionary. It is for the people in the church. And as the pastor once said, there's an expression of solidarity with the poor and the vulnerable baked into the fourth petition so that we can pray for God for help and asking him to help our neighbor too. In other words, this prayer refuses to let us privatize our own prayers and God's blessings. If we pray our bread but selfishly store it away, we're lying to God in our prayers. That is why Jesus in Matthew 25, he identifies with himself with the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, and the imprisoned. To pray our daily bread is to pray for them too, and be willing to be part of that answer. You see, God blesses us when we are generous. Actually, generosity flips our perspective. Personally, I have been the most richest, yet felt the most poorest when I was the least generous. And I have been the poorest in state, yet felt the richest when I was the most generous. That God gives us peace when we are generous, but he doesn't always give us peace when we abound in riches. I remember one of my professors in seminary used to say often, this isn't my money, this isn't my house or my car. They are given to me and I'm to be a steward of the Lord's stuff. That a closet full of coats isn't just a measure of our comfort, but is a test of our stewardship. That everything in our cupboards is for the Lord. That he entrusted it to us to bless our families and our neighbors. I think of a man named Jeremy Bourne. I've used this illustration a lot. And you pray for him. Please pray for this man. He's a church planter in Montana in a very rough part of town where the majority of people that he's serving are poor people. And he's been in this church plant for years, and it's just a slog every day. But I remember Jeremy Bourne, still to this day, we went and we were telling people about Jesus. We were making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and we were evangelizing on the south side of Billings. There was probably like 8 college students, and we would hand out sandwiches and Bible tracts and pray for people. Even got punched in the face by a drunk homeless person once. It was just a lot of fun. Yet one night, Jeremy Bourne saw a homeless man and he had no shoes on, no socks on. And Jeremy bought these brand new shoes. He had these brand new shoes. And he had these brand new gloves that his dad bought him that were like these wool, like beaver felt gloves. They were pretty, pretty awesome warm gloves. And in that moment, Jeremy took the shoes off of his feet. He took the gloves off of his hand. And he gave it to the stranger. And what's so interesting is that powerful image of me watching this brother share Jesus with other homeless people with no shoes, no gloves. He didn't go home that night. He continued the work of the kingdom. He had no shoes. He had no gloves. That homeless man probably never knows that man's name. He doesn't know Jeremy Bourne's name. But you know what? Jesus does. Because that night, Jeremy clothed Christ. That night, Jeremy gave Christ his shoes. That night, Jeremy gave Christ his gloves. You see, Jeremy didn't see his stuff as his stuff, but the Lord's stuff to give away freely. That Jeremy Bourne clothed Christ. That he served Christ. And you see, the parable of the rich fool reminds us that we can tear down our old barns, we can build bigger ones, that we can hoard all of our blessings, we can say, oh, I have made all this stuff, and now I can sit quietly and enjoy the rest of my life. Yet what does Jesus say in the parable of the rich fool? Fool, tonight your soul is required of you. What does it profit a man that gains the whole world yet loses his soul? It's like our scripture reading today in Luke 2 or 12 when we pray, give us our daily bread. And as Jesus warns us in Luke 12, that provision comes with accountability. That the faithful servant is measured by how he distributes the master's bread. In the same way, each paycheck, every meal, every opportunity God puts in our hands is both a gift and a test. Just as Christ says, to whom much is given, much is required. That daily bread is a grace, but is also a stewardship. And some of you in this room are praying that God would give you more money, that God would make you rich. But my question is, would you be a faithful steward with all that riches that the Lord has given you? You might say, oh, buddy, I can handle the money. The Lord can give me more money. I can handle it. But can you really handle the responsibility of all that money? Again, much is given and much is required. Be careful what you ask for. And so we have covered our second point, that God gives and that he gives us bread to be given out. But when God gives us this bread, or blah, 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 blah. But when does God give us this bread? And we see this answer in the Lord's Prayer where it says daily. Jesus doesn't give us weekly bread. Jesus doesn't give us our retirement bread. But Jesus says, give us our daily bread. And we see that we're just a mist. That James 4:14 says that you don't know what tomorrow may bring. And this is a lesson from manna in the wilderness, that God gave enough manna for the people every day to enjoy and to be fed and to be satisfied. But it wasn't enough, but they couldn't store it up, and they couldn't store up all their food except one day out of the week, and that was for the day of the Sabbath, so that they can rest in the Father's provision. But if you notice about the Israelites, when they hoarded the manna, when they stored it up for tomorrow, what happened? The manna grew moldy and it grown rotten. And I think God's provision in the Old Testament is an illusion of how we should expect provision now. If God gives you more bread, so to speak, if he stores up your vats, your barns, great. Glory to God. Praise him. But don't expect that that's what God is promising you here in the Lord's petition. Give us our daily bread. That sometimes God gives us daily provision and he provides enough so we would remain dependent upon him. Sometimes in your life, God gives you beans and rice. And you might be praying, Lord, I've been eating beans and rice and beans and rice and beans and rice, and I'm tired of beans and rice. Can I have something a little different, oh Lord? And sometimes there's seasons where God's like, yeah, sure, I can give you a little bit of difference. You don't want beans and rice? How about this? I'll give you rice and beans. How about that? That sometimes the Lord gives us what we need, not what we want, because he wants us to be dependent upon him. That he wants us to rely on him. Even in seasons of discontentedness or discomfort, there's still a gift from God. Sometimes God gives us beans and rice seasons so that we would hunger for him more, so that we would be dependent upon him more. I remember talking to a Christian missionary, church planter, and we were just talking about this. And I shared an example with him that there was a time when our daughter was really young and we didn't have enough money to buy milk. And we were just saying, like, Lord, we didn't even have a car. This boy, 6'4", 300 and some odd pounds at that time, sat on like a Honda 250 Shadow. It was like I sat on the back seat and my front pegs were on the front seat, and I'm sitting on this awkward little motorcycle driving back and forth to work and having an army duffel bag to fill my food to bring groceries home, and we had no milk. Yet someone came to the door and they said, hey, we had this event and we had this extra milk. Do you want it? And I was just sharing this with this brother, and he says, I remember those seasons as well. He's like, they were not fun seasons. To time, they were a little uncomfortable, but he says, I miss those seasons because I actually got to see God's hand more visibly in those moments of dependence upon him. That in his poverty, he was saying, there was a blessing. Where in our riches, we tend to forget about saying, give us our daily bread, because we look at our bank account. We're like that man. We're like, dude, I got barns full of grain. Let's make it rain. Let it rain. Let's enjoy life. Let's party. And you forget that God is the one that blessed us. And so we wrestle with these things, but we know that God is a good God. That Jesus says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Why is that? Because the same God who cares for you today will also care for you then. Worrying about tomorrow is like a farmer trying to water next year's crop with today's bucket. That same God who sends rain today can send it tomorrow. Do you live like you need God every day? Or is that desire only come when your bank account numbers drop and they take a little bit of a dip? And so we've covered our third point, and we've seen that God is the one who gives us daily bread to be shared, that he gives us daily bread, not weekly bread. But the question is, what does God give? And the answer is bread. Humble, ordinary, plain Jane, white, Wonder Bread. That's the point. God cares for our bodies, not just our souls. That there's nothing unspiritual about praying for food or clothing. Even the apostles appointed deacons and widows to feed the poor, or to appoint deacons to feed the widows. That Christ in his brilliance sandwiches this humble petition between two great ones. That God's name and kingdom would be glorified and deliverance from the evil one. And in the middle comes bread. Plain chain bread. And there's no accident to that. It's Jesus' way of saying your pantry matters to your Father. That your body matters to your Father. You see, Christians are not Gnostics and an early church false teaching that believed that the physical was just a prison for the soul and that our bodies weren't important. You could do whatever you want with them because the body is not important. It's the spiritual. But Scripture teaches us otherwise, that bread in the middle of this prayer makes that unavoidable, that God cares for our physical needs. Yet, what is beautiful about this prayer is that this daily bread, this plain Jane bread, points beyond itself. Just as our bellies are empty each day, so is our soul apart from Christ. That the same God who gives us bread for today also says, I am the bread of life. That daily bread proves that he cares for our bodies, but the bread of life proves that he cares for our souls. Think of it this way. Daily bread is your appetizer, but Christ is your feast. Just as Frank and Adele Hickman's gift to me, it was a little gift that was real, it was precious, but its greatest value is that it pointed me to something far greater. In the same way, every crust of bread is needed. It is a gift from God, but its deeper purpose is to point you to the greater gift, and that is Christ himself. That our daily bread should lead us to gratitude and confidence in God's faithful provision, that heaven is already guaranteed to us in Christ. How much more should even the smallest gifts make us grateful? That every crust is a reminder that God is faithful in the little things. How much more will he be faithful in the great? That gratitude for daily bread grows out of an assurance that we have already have the bread of life. That Jesus himself is that bread. And on the cross, he thirsted. On the cross, he was stripped of all his physical needs. He was literally stripped of his clothes and hung naked on the cross. He had no food, he had no shelter, he had no clothing, no companionship, even forsaken by his Father. And why? So that we could be fed forever. So that you could see every crust that we eat is a little sermon of Christ's love and provision. And so why bread? Because bread is humble. And Christ came humbly. The scripture says that he was not a strong, masculine man. He was not a Ben Askren. He was frail in body. Actually, read Isaiah 53. He was homely. That Jesus was not a pretty-looking person. He was not Brad Pitt. He was weak and despised. Yet in the same way, the bread of life, ordinary, plain Jane Wonder Bread, was strong enough to carry all of our sins. That Jesus was humble, yet powerful in the same way. And I think God doesn't promise us steak and lobster every day because he only promises us bread on this side of glory so we would keep our hearts and our minds not on this world, but what it can give, but on God, the gift giver from above, who has given us life himself, both physical and spiritual. Going back to my friend Jeremy Bourne, he used to drive an old Buick LeSabre. It was beat up. It was held up by baling twine because Montana doesn't have all these regulations and safety protocols like you do here. So this thing was a clunker. And on the back of his Buick LeSabre, it says, "Don't worry," a little sticker. It says, "Don't worry, I keep my treasures in heaven." And so, why bread? Why not steak and lobster? Lord, why did you say, give us our daily bread, when you could say, give us steak and lobster? Why does God promise only the most basic staples in life? Well, some of us in our lives wonder that. God, why can't you just give me a little bit more? Something that's a little bit better, O Lord. And I can get that. I can understand that desire. And when we're in these moments, we're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, we need to look at our daily bread. Just like Frank and Adele Hickman's gift to me, our daily bread points to something greater. The reason why you and I can have contentment in this life is because we have been given a greater gift, promised a greater gift in eternity, and that is Jesus. That we will be able, Christian, do you understand this? I want you to understand this. You one day will be in the streets of gold and glory. That you will be able to feast with the King of Kings every night in his great banquet hall. That is what is promised to you. And you're complaining about bread. Don't you understand that you're just like the Israelites? I'm just like the Israelites when I have just bread and I'm like, Lord, beans and rice. Why? And God's saying, hold on. Hold on. I have given you the land. I have given you the blessing. Hold on. You're on this journey. Don't you understand, Christian? You are just like the Israelites in the Old Testament wilderness. That this is not our home. That Abraham said, Geranoki Arfaharetz in Hebrew, I'm a stranger in a foreign land. Don't you understand this is not your home? That God has promised you bread. He is not going to forsake his servants. But guess what? You're going to have steak and lobster in glory. That I might not have that castle in the islands of Scotland here and now, but one day in glory next to my yurt, I will have a castle. And I will sing glory to the Lord. I don't need a castle here now on this earth. I don't need a fancy car here and now on this earth. I can do with plain Jane white Wonder Bread. Why? Because God has promised me Christ. And he can give you contentment. Yes, it is not fun to live paycheck to paycheck. But God has promised you something better. And so there we have it. We've covered, give us our daily bread. And that is God who gives us everything, that we should not just take anything as for ourselves, but it would be a gift of God. And secondly, God hasn't given us just gifts for ourselves only, but our daily bread is for the kingdom, not just for ourselves. Thirdly, daily reminds us to be dependent upon him, not just monthly or yearly, but moment by moment every day. But lastly, bread shows us that God's promises, basic provision here on earth, but rich blessings in Christ in heaven. That Christ came down as the bread of heaven to save us from our sins. And so how do we come and apply this section of the sermon and live this sermon out this week in our day-to-day life? And I want you to do two things this week. The first thing is to be present and grateful. That's actually hard. Slow down this week and notice the small, ordinary gifts that God places in your hands. Be present when you step into that hot shower. Did you know 100 years ago, people didn't have hot showers? They weren't guaranteed hot showers. The very aspect that you step in a hot shower should sing praises to God's name, right? That stepping into a hot shower when you heat up leftovers. Think of that. A microwave. You have a microwave. If you were feeling peckish, wanting to have a snack at 9 o'clock at night 100 years ago, guess what you would be doing? You'd get out some wood and you'd start a fire in your stove and you would have to cook a meal. Just having a microwave. Praise God. Think about that. Think of all the little things and show and remind yourself that God has blessed you. When you unwrap that sandwich for work, praise the Lord for plain Jane Wonder Bread. Even when you open up that bag of bread, thank God for peanut butter to put on it too. I'm sorry, Ruthers. But don't rush past those moments, right? Remind yourself that this too is from the Lord. That he is faithful and that he's given you this crust, how much more faithful is he who has given you Christ, the bread of life? Let every bite that you eat today, every shower you take, be like a little sermon of gratitude. And don't just keep it inward, let your family see it. Fathers, mothers, don't rush through your dinner table prayer time. But take time to express gratitude aloud. Show your children that you are dependent on God who gives us our daily bread. point them to the greater gift, and that is Christ himself. The second thing I want you to do is make a practice of being a generous person. Remember, this prayer is give us, not give me. One way to live out generosity in a practical way is just to budget a little bit of money that you can put in your pocket each month. Maybe it's $1 to $2, $5 bill, $10 bill, $20 bill. Whatever you pray to the Lord and he lays on your heart, put that money just in your pocket. And keep it in your wallet, keep it in your pocket for a purpose of giving it away. It could be a stranger. You don't know if they're homeless or not, but you just buy them a cup of coffee. Put it in their hand in a homeless person that you meet. Use it quietly to bless someone who's in need or someone in general. Don't overthink it. Just practice being generous with what God has already entrusted you. Because a small act of open-handedness trains your heart to see that all your cupboards are the Lord's, not yours. And you will find that often you will feel the poorest, or you will find often when you feel the poorest, generosity makes you feel the richest. You see, going back to my gift from Frank and Adele Hickman, on the surface, it was odd and worthless. That it was odd and worthless, but in reality, it was a priceless because of who gave it, because it pointed me to Jesus. And so it is with us with daily bread. Every meal, every crust, every bill that is paid, every roof that is over your head is a Hickman-style gift from your Father. Ordinary on the surface, but priceless in reality. It points to the generous Father who gave us Jesus, the bread of life. And so this petition is with, pray this petition with dependence, with generosity, with daily trust, and a gospel gratitude. And above all, receive the bread of life, the bread of heaven, who gave himself for you. May God bless the meditation of his word. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, Son of God, glory to you. We thank you, Father, for you are great and mighty. We thank you, Spirit, for sending yourself and being a comfort to us as we receive your preaching of your word. We pray, O Spirit, that you would just soften our hearts throughout the week, that we would reflect on your word and that we would live it, that we wouldn't be just hearers of the word, O Lord, but that we would be doers of it. Bless us, O God, we pray. And it's in Christ's name. Amen.